three decades ago, I came up with an imaginary product, Earth Angel Bird Identification Earrings. Shaped like little parabolas, they collected sounds, sent them via a discrete wire to a teeny tiny microchip sewn into the birder's wide-brimmed hat, and whispered the correct identification back into the wearer's ears. Many years later, a real-life app named Shazam came out. It will identify just about any recorded music, whether you're in a restaurant or listening to the radio. Shazam's database is enormous, but the algorithm does not recognize melodies, instruments, or singers' voices. If you go to a live concert, even if the musicians are duplicating their own recording as closely as possible, Shazam won't recognize it, much less a hummed or keyboard version of a melody. It identifies only those specific song recordings in its database. Shazam's limitations are exactly why bird song identification apps have been so hard to create. Every single song a bird gives is a live performance, and for only a few species is each performance of a song essentially identical to every other performance. To make an algorithm identifying bird songs in the field even trickier, birds do not take turns singing. In spring and early summer, especially at dawn, one can hear dozens of songs being sung simultaneously. Shazam can deal with some background noise, but not with two songs playing simultaneously. Experienced birders can tease out the identifications in a dawn chorus, but no one has figured out how to program software to do that. Despite the difficulties, over the past decade, several groups have developed primitive systems to identify bird songs and calls. One app has come sort of close, Song Sleuth. One of the country's top bird illustrators and field guide authors, David Sibley, provided all the artwork, detailed species information, and range maps for Song Sleuth. The company that developed the algorithms for analyzing the songs, Wildlife Acoustics, has a long track record of helping monitor bats, frogs, and whales via acoustics. The trick for Song Sleuth is that there are an order of magnitude more bird species than bat, frog, or whale species, and vocalizations within many individual bird species are far more variable too. On Monday, when David Sibley and Michael Collin, another leader in the Song Sleuth team, were in town for a convention, they took me out to test Song Sleuth at one of my favorite local birding spots, the Western Waterfront Trail. How did the test turn out? First, the bad news. It did not correctly identify some of the closest, loudest, clearest birds we heard. Its database includes fewer than 200 species altogether, leaving out some of the birds we most often identify by song on our warbler walks at the Western Waterfront Trail, such as swamp sparrow, marsh wren, brown thrasher, sora, and Virginia rail. And it did very poorly with a nearby song sparrow, recognizing its song only once out of quite a few tries. Song sparrow songs are variable, but not that variable. The good news is that it's fun to look at the spectrographs that Song Sleuth produces in the field. David Sibley added the swamp sparrow to his to-do list, and the number of species Song Sleuth can identify will grow. But right now, it clearly doesn't have a big enough database to help with a sizable proportion of the birds you'll hear, and unless you already know bird song identification well enough to not need Song Sleuth, you won't know whether the bird you're hearing is in the database or not. The more people buy Song Sleuth, which costs $9.99, the more Wildlife Acoustics will be able to afford to invest in improving the program. But I'm still not convinced it's even possible with the current size of processors and smartphones or even laptop computers to create an app that can actually identify all the bird sounds of any single place as they're heard outdoors. It'll be fascinating watching Song Sleuth continue to make improvements, but for now, it's not an app I'll be using. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.